Amen. In today's epistle lesson that Cataldo read earlier, the Apostle Paul writes this to his beloved Philippians. He starts out this way. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy. By being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Doesn't that sound wonderful? In a world these days that it seems like there's a lot to be bummed out about, there's a lot of conflict in our country. Turn on the NFL game today, or don't turn it on. There's conflict before the game even starts. Conflict over what seems to unite Americans, our flag, and how to act with respect to the flag. The sermon isn't about that. Paul says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. Already we fail. That you might be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Man, it seems like we live in a crooked and twisted generation. It's tough to do that. It's tough to do all things without grumbling and complaining. Why is that? Well, maybe it's because we have too many lords around here. I'm a lord, you're a lord, they're a lord, you're a lord, they're a lord, everywhere a lord. Everybody's a lord. Now, you may not think of yourself as a lord. You don't have a manor with great lands and estates like the lords in England. You don't have a big title, Lord of East Clarence or whatever. You don't have great wealth, all the things that go with it. And all these servants, what was that show? Upstairs, Downstairs, and Downton Abbey? Downton Abbey. All kinds of servants. Lord of the manor. You don't even have a pedigree and a vote in Parliament like the British lords. And you think, well, I'm just a student. I'm just wondering if I can get through school okay. Or maybe you're a working Joe or a working Jane, and you're just worried about your next paycheck. And oh, by the way, there's always the boss. There's always the boss to rule over me and tell me what to do. Or maybe you're a retiree worried about getting to your next Social Security check, wondering if you're going to have health care next year or next week when you need it. Seems like all those decisions are being made somewhere else, Washington or Albany or somewhere else. It's not me that gets to decide that. We complain, we grumble about not having power. We do it all the time. Somebody somewhere else has all the power. Somebody else is making the decisions for us. The man, they used to say. The man's making all the decisions for me. Whoever that is. Never met the man. It kind of seems downright un-American. Why can't I decide? But for most of us, most of the time, we don't think of ourselves as lords. You and I always seem like, we feel like, we're the low man on the totem pole. Somebody else is making the decision for us. Somebody else up there. But guess again, you and I are lords. You see, a lord is not simply someone who's on the top of the org chart, top of the totem pole. A lord is somebody who exercises power over somebody else anytime, anywhere. Let me give you a couple of examples. You are a lord when you get out of here and you get in your car and drive away and you decide that you're going to drive 45 in a 35 mile an hour zone. Because your time to get wherever you're going is more important than somebody else's safety. You're a lord when you refuse to let that Buffalo driver who's doing 35 in the left-hand lane, you refuse to let him merge into your lane because that's not going to happen. You're a lord when you get home from work after a long day dealing with all the stuff you got to deal with at work and your boss and your wife or your husband or your kids ask you for something and you just can't find the time for them. How about this one? You're a lord when you go into the store or log into Amazon.com and decide how you're going to spend your money on yourself and put out of mind that hungry person who doesn't seem to need anything. You see, every time we make a decision that affects other people, we're acting as a lord. Every time we make a decision that affects all of God's creatures or His creation, the way that we act, we're acting as a lord. In fact, what we're doing is we're exercising dominion. As God said way back in Genesis chapter 2, giving dominion, acting with dominion of power over something. Dominion comes from the Latin word dominus, which means Lord. Lord. We act as lords all the time. And Martin Luther, in the Reformation, wrote a treatise called The Freedom of the Christian, Freedom of the Christian Man, or The Freedom of the Christian Person. The freedom of a Christian. From Scriptures, he says, you are perfectly free in Christ. Perfectly free. You are a lord. You are subject to no one. Can you even change the order of the worship? The question is this, and this is the question that Paul puts to us, and the same question he puts to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2. He says, what kind of lord are you going to be? What kind of lord are you? And what kind of lord are you going to be? If God gives you all this authority, all this freedom, what kind of a person are you going to be? What kind of a Lord are you going to be? And he invites you to draw a comparison between the kind of Lord that we all want to be and the kind of Lord that we have in Jesus Christ. What did this Lord do? What did your Lord do? What did the one who was the visible manifestation of the living God himself, what kind of a Lord was he? Paul says, he did not consider being equal with God, being God himself in his divine nature, as something to be held onto and grasped. No. He took the form of a servant. This Lord, Lord over all of creation, took the form of a slave. And he was obedient. Obedient, as Paul says, to death. That's obedience. And not just any kind of death, but death on a cross. Beaten. Executed in front of everybody. Humiliated. Dying in shame. Not dying in dignity. Dying in shame for you and me. That is the kind of Lord that we have. That's the kind of Lord Jesus is. And because of this, God the Father exalted him to the highest place, to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, as we say, with all authority on heaven and on earth and under the earth. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the Lord whom we're called to serve as lords. This is the Lord who gives us freedom, Christian freedom, from the bondage of sin, death, and hell. What are you going to do with that freedom? In our gospel lesson from Matthew today, we heard about, and this it takes place the day after Jesus comes to Jerusalem. He rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on a donkey. And what do the people proclaim him? We sang it in the first hymn. Crown him king. King of kings, Lord of lords. Crown him king. And the very next day, the chief priests and the elders, all of Jesus' enemies, come to him and say, by what authority are you doing this stuff? Who gave you this authority? They question his lordship. And that's on Monday. Or by Friday, He's on a cross, being crucified. Chief priests and the elders and the people who were yelling, "Crucify him," didn't know what kind of Lord they were dealing with. And Pontius Pilate, who wrote that sign that went over his head on the cross, the King of the Jews, he didn't know what lordship was either. Jesus' lordship comes as a servant. A suffering servant from Isaiah three times. A suffering servant. That's the kind of Lord that we have. And this Jesus, this Lord who became a servant, the lowest form of a servant, who was executed and humiliated, there, this servant God raised up from the dead. From the dead. God exalted him to his right hand. Because this is what lordship is. So, lords, when Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me." That's lordship. And this Lord, who's raised from the dead, who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty with all his power and authority, comes and gives it to you, lords, to baptize and teach, to forgive each other, for a pastor to stand in front of you and say, "By whose authority?" By the authority of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. That's where that authority comes from. The right hand of God the Father is forgiving you. Don't you forget that. That's who he is. That makes you who you are. So, if there's any encouragement in Christ, in your Lord Jesus Christ, there's any comfort and consolation in his love which he has shown to you, if there's any participation in his Spirit that he gives you in holy baptism, any affection and sympathy, complete the joy, lords. Complete the joy. Complete the joy by being of the same mind, the mind of Christ, your Lord. Complete the joy by having the same love in Christ. Complete the joy by being of one accord and of one mind, the mind of Christ. And as we reflect on what this means for us in our lives as the baptized ones of God, as the church, may God bless us to live as lords the way he did, serving one another in gentleness, in humility, in forgiveness, loving one another in unity and in one accord with the same mind, in the mind of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise for prayer.